Hey girl, how you doing? My name is Charlie. That's Nate Wilson. I was wondering if I could take you out,
take you
show
out.
You a good time, oh, invite you to my house. Here is my number. Girl, you can call me. And don't forget it, babe. The name is Charlie.
With all of this fortune, what am I doing single? Sometimes I tell myself, man, get out and mingle. You don't have to be alone, you need someone to love. But being famous, sometimes it's hard to find someone to trust.
But hell with that this time, I'm gonna treat myself.
Being in love is good for your health.
It's time to share this fortune and fame with someone else.
Now that I'm in this club, I might as well.
How you doing?
How you doing?
My name is Charlie.
Charlie.
That's Nate Wilson.
That's Nate Wilson.
I was wondering if I could take you out.
Take you out.
You a good time. Invite you to
Here is my number.
Girl, you can call me.
Baby.
And don't forget,
no.
My name is Charlie.
Now I ain't got nobody to ride in my new coupe with. Ain't even got nobody to chill with on the weekend. This is just a house till someone makes it a home. Love don't count me out, cause I'm so all alone.
But to hell with that this time, I'm gonna treat myself.
Being in love is good for your health.
It's time to share this fortune and fame
dream
with someone else.
Now that I'm in this club, I might as well.
Wilson. I was wondering if I could take you out,
take you
show
out.
You a good time,
invite you
to my house.
Here's my number,
girl.
And don't forget it, babe.
Charlie.
My name is Charlie.
Shabba dabba dweedy dway.
Now the reason that I left is because it feels like I know you.
Or this must be one hell of a
day.
Haven't I seen you somewhere before?
I know you've heard this somewhere.
And how I want you, girl, for sure.
And that's why I'm introducing myself.
Hey, girl. How you doing? My name is Charlie.
First name Charlie.
Last name Wilson.
Last name Wilson.
I was wondering if I could take you out.
Show you a good time.
Show you a good time.
Invite you to
in my
crib.
Here is my number. Call me.
Pick up the phone.
And don't forget
my name.
Episode of Music and Conversations. This is your host, T.C. Tompkins. First thing I need to do is do this disclaimer, because there's no telling what myself or my guests may say, that the opinions stated on this show are the opinions of myself and my guests and do not imply or implement the station, church, or any of the owners of the station. Okay? And I want to let everyone know that this week's show is brought to you by Anderson and Smith, attorney Ricky Anderson. Ricky has two new books out, which I highly recommend, Entertainment Law and Music Industry Contacts. They are available on attorneyrickyanderson.com. That's Ricky Anderson. As far as I'm concerned, the best entertainment attorney in the business. He's located here in Houston. Okay. We're going to be talking to one of my special friends today, a guy that really was a big help to me back when I was vice president of Epic Records and represented black music and black music radio excellently, as far as I was concerned, and had some of the best conferences I've ever gone to in my life. That is Mr. Sidney Miller. Okay. Sidney, can you hear me? Sidney? We're having a few problems.
Hello. Oh, yeah,
okay,
no,
there we go. There we go. Yeah, I hear you now.
All right.
You there, Sidney? How you doing?
I'm doing fine, man. I'm doing fine. And I am pleasured for the invitation to be on your show.
Well,
I've had five people to call me already to tell me, I hear you're going to be on DC's radio show. Mm-hmm. We'll be listed in. This is Facebook, all over Facebook.
All over Facebook, man. Let me tell you something. Once I announced, because, you know, first of all, Clarence Avon was supposed to be doing the interview, and then all of a sudden Clarence notified me the day before the interview they're going to be doing an autobiography on Clarence. And you know how secretive Clarence is anyway. So they thought that I was going to be bringing out some things about his biopsy, about his bio. he hear me say that, boy, that's all I need. That's all I need. They didn't want me to bring out anything that was going to be revealed in the bio, in the bio.
Right.
But tell my audience who you are, man. I know who you are. I know that you're the founder and owner of BRE Magazine, which stands for Black.
Well, you know, I was supposed to be going into medicine. When I got out of the service in 57, I had missed the GI Bill by 30 days, so I had to get up and start hustling. And along the way, I found out that Talent Ball Adderley was getting ready to make a deal with Capitol Records, and he was shifting the staff around and wanted me to come into the staff. Anyhow, I didn't know whether I was going to do that or not, but anyhow, I did it. And after I took the job, I ended up heading up the Black Division at Capitol. For a minute, when they fired one guy because they found out supply, I took over the whole the pop promotions department and the black promotions department. But you know, when I looked at what was going on at Capitol, I had broken more records than any of the guys who were there working with the company, and nobody was talking about making me the president. Mm. And I found out that that's how you become the president. You have two or three acts that you break, and then they go and put pressure on the chairman, and then you become the president.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I see here in my...
I decided it was time for me to get out of there. I left out of there, and Russ Ryan called Bob Hamilton and told him that black music was not being treated fairly, that it was 40% of the dollar volume, and that Billboard was just tokenizing it by having two pages in 135 pages about black music. And he told me that he thought somebody should do it, and Bob Hamilton told him that I was the only person that he would recommend. So he told me, he says, okay, I'm going to have $100,000 for you next Thursday. But that Wednesday night, he went home. His wife had changed the locks on the door and frozen his bank account. So he called me the next morning when he's supposed to be giving me $100,000. He called me from the Howard Johnson's Motor Inn.
Okay.
He said he couldn't do it, you know. But they, you know, just run with the idea if I could. So I sold my goddamn house. And after, even after I sold my house, I just had enough money to publish for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody got on board when they saw how good my magazine looked, you know. And everybody said, you need to just mimeograph. I said, no, we have to mimeograph out. I want a magazine that people will want to be a part of and will embrace. And that's exactly what happened.
Well, you know what, Sydney, now, I don't know really, because I don't have that much influx or interaction with the major labels anymore. You know how they treat us once we get a certain age. But I know that I heavily supported BRE back when I was vice president of Epic. I mean, I had to fight.
You absolutely did.
I had to fight with Epic back then to do it. And it was just because it was a black magazine.
That's right.
Yeah, because
I know exactly.
Yeah, every ad that I wanted to do with you, I had to explain why. I mean, I had to go through a whole drama to get dollars. You know, though. But I mean, I think we did some great work together. I'm very pleased with all the ads and all the representation that you gave Epic Records back during my tenure. You know, I mean, plus I had some outstanding artists. I'm looking at my notes here, Sydney. And did you have something to do with Car Wash?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
The producer, the director of Car Wash, called me up and told me that he wanted me to handle the Car Wash promotional campaign, and that he had made a deal with MCA, although they didn't want the record. They told him they had no expertise in black product, and so they actually refused the record. And he went all the way to the top and got them to force feed them the record, and then put me in charge of the promotion of the record.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that I had to do was they asked me to pick a city to premiere, and I told them, hell, Washington, D.C., man, that's Chocolate City.
Yeah.
So they said, okay. So then they gave me a date in Washington, D.C. that I could fly in. All the top jocks from New York and Philadelphia and Baltimore and Washington and Chicago, and even from L.A. And we premiered Car Wash Movie at the downtown Universal Studios offices, okay?
Okay.
And I gave every jock who came to that meeting, I didn't give them a record, I gave them an acetate. Because I know that people know that when you spend time to make a fucking acetate, you really want it, you believe it, and you've got a big investment.
You're killing me now. You know we on radio with your language. with your engineer.
I apologize. That's
okay. I know this is just like our normal conversations when me and you talk.
And we talk to each other
that way. I understand.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of my best friends in the city of Houston was Judge Boogaloo Frazier.
Yeah, this I know you guy, wanted to mention Boogaloo.
He put me on the map in Houston, Texas. I always knew that he was going to be with me, but I had one problem with him, and that was that he used to always want to play the B-side.
Okay? Oh, yeah, on the record. Yeah. Yeah, that was him. He always wanted to discover something. No, he never wanted to do what you wanted him to do. Yeah, he wanted to discover the unknown track.
I stopped putting B-sides on my record.
Yeah. And look, I know you wanted to mention Paris Ely too.
Yes. Paris probably has one of the most fabulous vocabularies
in the world.
And not only does he have it, but he knows how to use it, all right? And I always thought that he should be, of all people, should be on radio right now, on satellite radio with a syndicated show, I just think talking about what's happening because he's that kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. Now, I think he's got a show on some station here in the city because he was on the air here for a moment. And then I think something happened and he's with a new station now. But I remember Paris when Paris was my boss at CBS. Paris was the only man that I knew could get up out of a dead sleep, go into a marketing meeting, and with no notes, just amaze everybody because he had a vocabulary that most people will have their dictionaries in the meeting trying to figure out what he's talking about, you know. So he was excellent at that. Tell me about this Hollywood Live thing, Sydney.
Oh, well, what happened was some guys came to me who were in the promotions area, and they had a show up on satellite, and they were going up on the public radio satellite.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me that they could get me some money for a show. And what they were able to do, since they had a track record with the advertisers, they got people to give advance money, like Champville and the U.S. Army and a couple other companies. I had $200,000 before I went on the air. And that's how we raised it. And then once we got that, everybody joined me. Because, actually, Hollywood Live was the very first satellite show for black radio.
Mm.
In fact, when I went on the air, there was only one station that had a feed from the satellite, and that was a station in Oklahoma City. Okay?
Okay.
Tulsa, Oklahoma. And they had a direct feed. But everybody else, what I had to do was I had to run stereo telephone lines from the public radio station in whatever city it was, over across town to the black radio station, and then they would, when you heard the show, it was just like the show was happening in their studio.
Yeah, I mean, you've done a lot of things that were before your time on things. I know that. And respect what you've been able to do with BRE Magazine. And I know, man, being a black publication, the struggles that you've had to go through to try to keep that magazine afloat and make it something to be proud of, it's always been something that I've always treasured, you know, our association and the things that we've done together. And remember some of the best times in my life is when, matter of fact, you made Sade Artist of the Year 1 year, and we flew her in from England. Had a great time at the conference. Another year you had Michael Jackson as Artist of the Year, and we had a great time, which I just happened
That's
to be.
Right. In fact, I parked my motorhome backstage for him to be in because he wanted his own private dressing room. So we gave him my whole motorhome.
Well, that was a wise thing. I remember that. I remember, matter of fact, when you did those two things, the labels were just amazed that you could get those artists to drop whatever they were doing and show up for BRE. You know.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, because I know that.
But let me tell you something, man. You know. One thing about being black, you have to know that your job is to survive and the other man's job is to take you out. So you always have that threat 24 hours a day, every day. And the reason that BRE is not on the air with Hollywood Live today is because Stevie Wonder called me up and asked me, and he was one of my stations carrying the show, mm-hmm. called me up and asked me to do a Martin Luther King radiothon. And I thought, wow, that's a good idea. And I agreed to it, okay? But now, when I did that, that meant that I could not have any advertising on my show. I had to figure out a way to pay for this show. And I thought for sure that I would get some of the black-owned companies to come in just for opening and closing billboards on the show. Okay? Uh-huh. But by 5 o'clock, my show was on a Sunday night, and by 5 o'clock on Friday, every sponsor I had called and told me they were going to pass on the show that week, okay? Which meant that's like $47,000. To run the show without any commercials.
Oh my God!
So I called Stevie Wonder, and they said, "Oh, okay, call us Monday." And then I called them Monday. They said, "Hey, we ain't got no money. All right." and they said, "You should call the Sutton." And you know, I really knew behind the scenes what the Suttons were going through, so I didn't even make that call. But I end up eating that, and I thought, well, you know, what the hell? For Martin Luther King's birthday, $47,000, that's not a bad investment. Mm-hmm. But nobody knew I made that investment because when they had the big celebration in Washington, D.C., I wasn't even invited.
I mean, I am not surprised.
Let me tell you, the real thing, my man, was that Coca-Cola, when I called Coca-Cola, I said, wow, you guys, I don't understand. I said, Coca-Cola is in Martin Luther King's hometown. You all share the same town. And the guy from Coca-Cola said, Mr. Miller, everybody who drank Coca-Cola don't like Martin Luther King, and hung up the phone.
Yeah, okay, you know, that's...
But let me tell you the closing part, sir. What happened then was, they said, oh, you use that show and got Martin Luther King's birthday holiday, because that was the greatest effort that they had, because not only were we on the stations, the 60 stations that I had, but all of the public radio stations in America, over 5,000 of them carried the show, my man.
Oh, that was
because
hot.
Because we didn't have any commercials, all right? And so it became a holiday. So when them white people realized what I had done, what they did was Coca-Cola called me up and said, Mr. Miller, we need an update list on the radio stations and the listenership in each market. So I gave them that, and then they took that. Because my show was sponsored by Coca-Cola USA. They took that and divided the cost of doing my show among each of the markets that I was in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when a radio station looks up, and I mean, when the Coca-Cola company in that bottling company in that area looks up and sees that he's got to pay for this show, then something else that he's doing with that station suffers. So then the radio station that I already have a deal with is now paying twice for my show.
So they did a chargeback on him. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. And so that was the end of BRE. Because the companies, the radio stations were paying twice for them.
I don't want to step on anybody's toes, Sydney. But how is your support with black VPs and major labels now?
Well, I would say
lukewarm.
I think that it is as good as it can be based on the budget that they have to operate.
That is the problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man. Whatever your budget was when you were at running efforts, they have less than 25% of that today.
That's sad.
It is. It is. But that's the reality of, you know, how much control a man in a district can have over how much airplay he can get in a marketplace based on people like Radio One who control that shit from the home base, you know?
Yeah, you got a point. Look, we got to take a break. I know you said you had to run. Can you stay after the break, or do you have to go?
I really got to go, but I tell you this, I will come back and be on your show again. I really enjoyed talking. I got so involved in what I was saying to you that I went longer than I told you I was going to go. So you go right ahead and know that I will be back.
I appreciate your time, Sydney. Thank you so much. We all enjoyed talking to you. You take care,
all
man.
All of it's going to be in the book.
Okay. We can look forward to that. Okay. Take care, man. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
I sing this song to remind myself that there was a time when I didn't have no one, didn't have no love. Do you remember the love once had? Well, if I had the chance to love you again, I would make your heart again. I was in always for love. once again. I can't help myself. I can't.
Hi, this is Eddie Levert, and you're listening to Amazing Radio, Amazing 102.5 FM.
I'm back. I was just playing some Luther Vandross. Matter of fact, when I talked about doing this show, Emelian told me to start bringing in some of my stuff. I brought in Luther and M. Toomey today. For those that don't know, I did Luther's first project, which was Never Too Much. Emilia knew. What now?
T.C.
Yeah. Okay. T.C. Tompkins. I'm T.C. Tompkins. I didn't say my name. I'm sorry. But I did the first Luther Vandross project, which was Never Too Much. A funny story about this was Luther was signed to Atlantic Records at the time. He had a group over there. And the inside rumor was that Atlantic dropped Luther because he was gay. Yeah, that's why he got dropped. Jerome Gaspar was the one who brought Luther to everybody's attention. I'm sure other people got credit for it later on, but Jerome Gaspar is a person that, far as I was concerned, who signed Luther Vandross. Luther went over to meet Luther. Luther was doing commercials at that time. He did, matter of fact, I can't think of, but he did all the commercials back in that day for Mountain Dew, I think Pepsi. All that stuff was Luther singing those commercials at the time. And that's where Luther was making his living, was doing commercial, doing things for commercials. And because he had did not have a career other than the things that he kept going from group to group when he was with Atlantic. He couldn't kind of really find himself. He found himself, though, at Epic. And as hard as did several major press parties and sort of introduced her to the American public. But when I came back, they had some kind of program that had put Luther on. They were giving away the album. It was the hottest album in the country. And the sales department was giving away, they were giving away some kind of big discount on the album, get the album laid out. I went off. I never will forget that, going off in the marketing meeting on one of the vice presidents of sales. Because I think Eddie Kendrick's brother had a major retail outlet in Detroit at that time. And I will never forget why they had to take me out of the office. They had to take me out of the marketing meeting. You know what the vice president of sales said to me?
What was that?
Said, did you expect me to cover all the shoe shine shops in America?
Wow.
I'm serious. That was exactly what was said to me. So that lets you know the state the state of black music in their minds.
You know, when I was with Dizzy Million White, and when I was at Epic working up under you, I'll never forget the time in Puerto Rico when Luther was introduced to the sets, to this promotional staff, and I'm saying, okay, this dude is bad. He got a voice. How are we gonna present it? But it was an easy presentation to put him out there because he was so talented and his voice is so pure. Right. Oh, yeah. And that Never Too Much was like, and it was like a whole, it was
brand
like,
new sound.
It was a brand new sound. Yeah. It was different. It was new, and the voice was so pure. And then all of a sudden, it came Sugar and Spice.
It had Always, Forever, and Always.
Right.
I got those in there,
I think,
to play. But Luther was just a perfectionist. He was a true perfectionist. He did that with all his concerts and everything he did. I really enjoyed working with Luther the times that I had. He was one of the best artists that I've worked with. Him and Sade, I think, were two of the best artists that I worked with during my time, other than Michael, you know, that I was at Epic Records. Matter of fact,
Luther was so friendly and nice, you know. I had a couple of times to meet him backstage, and he was just welcome, regular guy.
Yeah.
Regular guy, and he'd welcome you and sit and talk and laugh and joke and take pictures.
Fried chicken. Yeah.
Right. Big Luther, little Luther. Yeah. You know, that was a joke, but no, Luther was always Luther.
Yeah, always was a real nice
except
guy.
Except for, don't get in his way when it came to perfection.
No, right. To his concerts, to his shows.
To his shows. Yeah. Do not get in Luther's way. Because
I'd heard that he cursed out either Dionne Warwick or Diana Ross, somebody that was on tour with him that had screwed up or something, and he kicked him off the tour.
I almost got into it with Luther, you know. Well, not get into it. Uh-huh. I was so happy to see him when he came to Arena Theater one day. Mm-hmm. And he was talking to somebody, getting in somebody's case.
That's Luther? It.
Yeah. I said, "Hey, Luther." He said, "Just 1 minute." Just hold on. I said, "Oops." Okay.
New Orleans, yeah, and to meet with Luther. When he saw me backstage, he said, "Oh God, I must be in trouble." You know, what you guys doing? Putting up another Luther.
That's one. That's one of your.
That's one of mine. Yeah.
Just putting on a Luther.
I think we were just having the. Conference in Hawaii then when that one came out. House Party. Bad Boy. Y'all guys gonna turn it up or you gonna keep it
No, low? I want you to keep talking about the song.
Okay. Well, I think this was his second or third project.
Right.
And this was a break from the stuff that he usually did, which were always ballads and mid-tempo.
Right,
you know, but I love this track. Yeah, it's kind of got a Sam Cooke kind of hook. Yeah,
right.
Feel to it. Uh-huh.
But it was a fun track. It was something. Oh, yeah. It was something different, and it got us our party. Now, mm-hmm. The days at World Champion.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, yeah. When World Champion was live at
Jefferson. World Champion in Houston.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a love to go down with Luther. Go ahead, hit it, turn it up.
That's why your mama told you that you couldn't go out, staying out. Then, gonna sneak out tonight. He's gonna take by her room. Cause it sure wants to go out and everyone's here. To your friends, cause it's gonna be a while till you see them again.
make out tonight. He's on a tip by her window, 'cause he sure wants to get out and dance.
My favorite Luther's Bad Boy, Luther Vandross. We're in a Luther frame of mind today, so I'm going to hit you with another one, the first of many. There'll never be another male vocalist like this guy here.
Woke up today, looked at your picture, just
to get me started. I called you up, but you weren't there, and I was brokenhearted. Hung up the phone, can't be too late, the boss is so demanding. Opened the door up, and to my surprise, there you were standing. Who needs to go to work to hustle for another dollar? I'd rather be with you, cause you make my heart scream and holler. Love is a gamble, and I'm so glad that I am winning.
Yeah, I remember this release. Matter of fact, Luther was not very kept when we released it. You remember that first cover? You remember that first cover on Luther? Luther
did pimple skin, yeah. Nappy head,
did
Luther.
A haircut.
Need a haircut.
Everything.
He had a nice jacket on, but.
Yeah, I don't know how they could put that out like that without that, with him not being there. Well, no Photoshop on that at all.
I don't think they expected much out of Luther.
I don't think so.
Right, that was a problem. Mm-hmm. And then when it hit, you know, then white folks take over.
Big artists. Right. They did not expect this guy to be as huge as he was. Matter of fact, we were sitting up here talking. Another record, two records to come to my mind that I had to fight to get released.
For Luther?
No, this is two other artists that we were just finna bring another artist in. Is this next one that you're going to be playing? People now, as big as this record was, they would not believe that I had to fight with Epic to get this record released.
Who's the artist? Player?
Entombé, Juicy Fruit.
It was a fun, soulful record that, you know, they didn't realize.
They couldn't hear it.
They couldn't hear it. They don't hear it.
No. Had to fight to get this one.
Right. And how many, what was the final sales on this record?
It was over a million.
Did a million? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Singer did over a million. They still using this to sample on every hip-hop record in the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I was in the studio with him to me when he cut this. When I heard this track, I said, that's it. Yeah. This one and You, Me, and He. Those were the two tracks that.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, that he had that were really hot.
I needed you. Oh, girl.
Everywhere,
juicy fruit.
You're so
juicy.
That was my man, M. Toomey. I remember that was M. Toomey's first hit. He had been trying for a long time. This is T.C. Tompkins with Music and Conversations. This hour is brought to you by our sponsor, Attorney Ricky Anderson. Don't forget to go to attorneyrickyanderson.com and pick up entertainment law and music industry contacts. They're available right now on attorneyrickyanderson.com. Also, we do highlight indie music on the show. So if you have some music that you feel like is worthy of getting played on my show, send it to tc.tompkins@gmail. That's tc.tompkins@gmail. Okay. We're going to...
What was, Tim, real quick, what was it, the next hit by M. Toomey?
You, Me, and He.
You, Me, and He. Oh, that was really big.
Yeah.
Was that bigger than Juicy Fruit?
Juicy Fruit were big, was bigger.
Right, okay.
Yeah, Juicy
right.
Fruit was bigger. I was, matter of fact, what I was going to mention when we were talking about that, the fight that I had, three records that come to mind with me that I had to really fight to get released that was huge. No, four. One of them, which you would, this is going to knock everybody down, In Between the Sheets. With the Isley Brothers.
CB, wow.
Epic did not want to release that record.
Wow.
They thought it was nasty. Now, did you think of the...
White people.
Did you think of today's standards, In Between the Sheet, they thought it was too nasty to release.
Well, that was back in the 80s, early 80s, right.
That was
right.
Back in the 80s.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so did they thought the same thing about Juicy Fruit. That's why
because
they
it's too nasty.
Yeah, thought it was too.
But they didn't know the black audience. They really didn't know the black
audience.
Too
provocative.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
They didn't know. And what got me was the fact that they didn't know the black audience. But when it hit, when we made it a hit.
Oh yeah.
And it was theirs.
It was pop then.
It was pop then. Michael Jackson. They didn't know nothing about Michael Jackson. Then all of a sudden he broke. And it was pop.
Yeah. Matter of fact, this is something that you would really relate to because during that time, I think you were working with Magic, and I was still at CBS, and I wanted to assure that this project that was coming out, which was before Thriller,
right,
that they did not just take it
right
as a pop release,
right,
and did not give R&B radio the respect that it deserved. So we flew out to Michael's house.
Right.
Me, you, and who was the young lady?
Deanne Collins.
Deanne Collins, and we taped, you taped an interview with Michael. Matter of fact, it was an exclusive.
Exactly.
Yeah, you were the only one in the country that had that interview.
Right, right. Yeah. Right. It was all about letting people know that Michael Jackson was still associated with the black community.
Absolutely.
And the black marketplace. You know, mm-hmm. Because he was teetering on pop. Well, he had gone pop.
Yeah.
But, you know, just to let people know that he is still a part of the black market.
Well, you know, they were trying so hard to market him, matter of fact, as a pop artist. Because the first record that he did off the wall
right,
was him and Paul McCartney.
Right.
The Girl Is Mine.
Oh, The Girl. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I thought was a mediocre record.
It was very mediocre.
Yeah. Yeah. The rest of the album was a monster.
Wanna be starting something?
Yeah, all that Rod Temperton stuff, all the stuff that Rod Temperton. Oh, we got a flash flood alert that's coming on my phone here. Okay, they stopped my broadcast because of the flash flood. Yeah. Thanks, Chris. Chris said he loved In Between the Sheets. I loved In Between the Sheets, too. That became a staple. For hip hop and R&B music was In Between the Sheets, and also M. Toomey, Juicy Fruit, which they did, and another record that they didn't want to release was on Patti LaBelle If Only You Knew.
Oh, really?
Patti had ended her deal with CBS. She had gone to MCA, so we had that record in the can. We had If Only You Knew in the can. And I kept going back and forth with what the release was. My wife picked that record as the release.
Wow.
In Between If Only You Knew. Yeah, that's Ernest Tompkins' hit record. Yeah.
By
Patti LaBelle. They did not want to release it. She wasn't with the label anymore. But I thought the record was so hot, man. I said, man, you know, money. Let's get this. Record went number one.
So, I mean, when you had to present your music to the powers that be at Epic Records. Mm-hmm. No, it was always a challenge, or it was always a fight, or
if the act was politically hooked up or something that they wanted,
right?
It wasn't a fight, you know. But if it was acts like M'Toomy, which was a border act during that time before M'Toomy hit with Juicy Fruit and Me, You, and He, you know, nobody really. They thought he was a great producer and a great songwriter, but he wasn't. He was not an artist, I just think that they just didn't want to give his stuff a shot. But I thought it was a hit record right away, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here's another one. Here's your other favorite. Okay.
Oh yeah. Ronnie Kelly. Yeah.
Such a pure voice.
Oh, yeah. I remember Kelly used to come up to the office all the time, take care of all the business for the brothers. Yeah, he was the business one part of it. Man could drink vodka like it was water.
You're listening to T.C. Tompkins with Music and Conversation. If you want to talk to Mr. T.C. Tompkins, please give him a call at 832-685-1025.
I thank you for that.
That's 832-685-1025. T.C. Tompkins on Amazing 102.5 FM.
Hey guys, I want to thank everybody for tuning in this week. As always, I've really enjoyed myself. Don't forget our sponsor, which is Anderson & Smith, attorney Ricky Anderson, please go to Ricky's website. I guarantee you, if you're in the entertainment business, you need a good attorney. And Ricky Anderson is one of the best. My company is Tompkins Marketing. We do marketing, promotions, and distribution. We are the best in the country, I guarantee you. Okay? We handle all type of artists, pop, hip-hop, R&B, gospel, and rhythm and blues. And I want to remind everybody, next week's guest is going to be Dr. Ed Montgomery from Abundant Life Cathedral. I'm looking forward to talking to Doc. That's what I call him, is Doc. I worked for Doc many of years when he had his gospel label. And I want to thank the management of Amazing 102.5 for giving me this platform.
Sure, you're right.
Okay. And I appreciate it, guys. I look forward to talking to you
now.
But
let me say this before you go. If anybody that listens on this, you really don't understand the magnitude that T.C. Tompkins, and I'm not just saying this because he's a good friend of mine, but you know, he's been so instrumental in breaking so many hits for so many years, and you know, a lot of it has gone unrecognized. You know, I can go on at the Sade's, the Luther, the Isley, the Patti LaBelle, the OJ's, Teddy Pendergrass, you know, M. Toomey.
Yeah, that's another one of my boys,
right,
Teddy.
Right,
yeah.
Teddy Riley. Yeah. You know, right.
Teddy
you know,
Riley.
Right,
yeah.
You know, on and, you know, Maze and on and on and on. So, you know, if you don't, you should take the time to research T.C. Tompkins, Tompkins Marketing. And you'll understand what I'm saying about the gentleman that we have here. I want to say thank you, T.C., for
thank
being.
Thank you. Hey, guys, you can always call in or email me. I'll take questions. I'll try to answer them as best I can. And if you have some material that you, like I say, you feel like is worthy, please get it to me. Okay? I listen to all music. Over and out.
God bless.
God bless.
got the